Hello there, folks, and welcome back to the Grave Consequences podcast. I am Caleb B, and that's where you can follow me on Twitter. Follow Greg at xmaserati. Follow the show at gc_cast, which might occasionally tweet that I am better than Greg, and I don't know who's doing that, but, you know, it's whatever. Record date is March 19. That is 6 days before this episode will drop on the Social Suplex Podcast Network at Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time. By the way, and Greg would agree that we have a major announcement that we will drop at the end of this episode, and it could shake the network to its very core.
I thought you were dropping it on the next episode.
Shut up!
What are we doing?
God, it was supposed to be bait. It was supposed to be bait. We'd be like, oh, we'll drop it this week. And then, oh, no, we'll drop it next week.
No, we can't. We can't bait him twice for what
the... That's fair enough. Yeah,
That's fair enough.
I agree. That's fair enough. So, but no, sorry, folks. That announcement is on next week's episode, which we will actually be recording shortly after we record this one, for what it's worth. But this episode we are reviewing is Season 1, Episode 30 of Lucha Underground. The title is Submit to the Master. Greg, you're a master of alternate titles. What would you call this one?
We're going to call this one Too Many Lies, as in lying about stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I guess with that, because I could ask you how your workday went, but I already know, and I don't want you to depress the viewer. So we can get right into it. Let's see here. First things first, Dario Cueto was in his office, and who's he talking to, of all people? Greg, this was probably the least surprising reveal in the entire show. Chavo Guerrero.
Well, it was kind of surprising to me that it came about so fast, because it felt like we just got done talking about how he was going to betray her the first chance he got. And he went out of his way. He didn't wait for the opportunity to come to him. He just went right away.
Yeah.
Betray her. It was just...
Well, he had his reasons. Like, he, you know, Dario wants Black Lotus on a silver platter. Chavo can get her to him. And the only thing Chavo wants is around-the-clock protection from Mexico. And he kind of needs that because, don't fuck with Mexico.
He also says there was one point where Dario, Dario was saying, so what is it that you really want? And he smiles and then it leaves the scene. So I'm not sure if that is even answered in the next episode. So don't get too excited about that. But I just want to point out that was... It could be. I'm not sure if it even alludes to anything. I'm not sure if that's one of those things that goes nowhere, but they kind of are leading that Chavo wants something else as well. But I don't remember what that. I don't remember what that is. If you remember, we can't spoil it either way. But do you know if that goes anywhere? I don't remember.
I think he may one day end up getting a title shot, but beyond that, I don't know.
And so it's nothing crazy, nothing really important.
Not like I want full-blown immortality. I want you to give me a full suit of body armor.
Yeah, I'm not sure if... I think this is one of those many breadcrumbs that doesn't really go anywhere. And if it does, it's so minor. It might be the title shot, but based on something else that's said later, but we'll see.
Either way, Chavo kind of sucks, and this storyline sucks still.
It's not good.
And it's the what bums me out is, like, so far it's the main focus of the show.
Yeah, it seems to be the main driving force behind everything. And it's one that it's like watching a show where you like everything that's going on, and you find out there's an underlying plot hole, or not plot hole, but there's an underlying plot to it all. And you're just not in, like, it's like playing like a video game like Skyrim. Most people, the main quest, they don't do that. They go out and they go join the Warriors Guild, or they become a vampire, or they become a werewolf, or they join the Mages Guild. And this is all video game talk, but this is just one of those games where you focus on, like, the side stuff. You're just not interested in the main story. It just doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah, exactly. So Los Riobox plays us in again. And Vampiro, during the intro, he's doing a lot of hand gestures once again. Very, very hyper.
As a Juggalo often is.
Yes, absolutely. I wish they would have, and they never did, but I wish they would have embraced, you know, the Juggalo that is Vampiro and, like, allowed him to have Faygo at the announce table.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. I actually
Faygo and Crystal Meth. Put them at the table.
Crystal Meth. I think usually they actually, I watched, like, a video on The Gathering. I think heroin is the biggest issue.
Oh, really? Gotcha.
I think so. Well, and heroin is, never do heroin. Do, like, you know, stay away from that. That does ruin lives.
Yeah. And stay away from meth. Like, yeah. Trust me, I live in the Bible Belt. Meth is a problem. So just stay away from drugs. Drugs are bad, okay?
Yeah, just do the cool ones. Don't do the ones that ruin your lives.
Exactly. Do the cool ones, like the funny cigarettes or something.
Well, like, think about it. Like, who's all going around like, oh, meth is so cool, let's go do meth? Or who's really cool because they do heroin? Nobody. you know what I mean? It's like you have pot movies, like, you know, Pineapple Express and shit, but, like, you don't have heroin movies.
Do the cool ones, like cocaine.
Yeah, I would recommend not doing that one too, just because I've known people that have done it. But I think it's probably the more socially acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. American Psycho might be considered a cocaine movie.
You might be right. I can see that.
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, Jack Evans versus Arjanis is the next match. And before the match even starts, Vampiro is on commentary. And Vampiro explains the origin, or supposed, I haven't, you know, vetted this, but he explains the supposed origin of the term gringo. And that it originated, you know, when the military invaded and the locals would say, green, go home.
It sounds true, but unfortunately...
It's one of those, it's a Charlie Kelly thing. It's like, it doesn't sound right, but I don't know enough about stars to dispute it.
Yeah, I can't dispute it, but it's just because of the source, we kind of have to be like, are you sure?
Exactly. And so before the match even started, so we've got Evans and Arjanis out there, and Dario comes out, and he basically buries both of them. He's like, Jack, your match with Aerostar was very good, but you lost. Arjanis, you're very good, but no one cares. And you know what? He's like, I want to sweeten the pot. So the winner of this match will get one of my 7 Aztec medallions. By the way, Phoenix, who we haven't seen in a little while because, you know, Mil Muertes, like, beat him in a death match, has that first Aztec medallion. Now, that being said, winner gets this Aztec medallion. So we've got stakes on the match. By the way, Dario hits us with a sweet ring the bell. And one thing I loved that one thing I didn't know that I was informed by Stryker, actually, is that apparently Arjanis is the brother of Miss Disease, who was the original Sin Cara in WWE.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I didn't catch that. That's cool.
Not the Unico Sin Cara, but the one who, like, when he fought Del Rio in 2013, like, had to stop a match because he hurt his finger.
Is that really true, though? Because it sounds like such a far-fetched...
It was on Raw.
Yeah. I mean, was he in the wrong for stopping? I know it sounds like he's in the wrong, but, like, was he really in the wrong for stopping it? Or?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say. Like, there's always been a rumor about, you know, Del Rio and WWE. Like, when he would face other Mexican guys, he would get really stiff with them.
Oh.
So I don't know.
I can. Well, it's one of those things where I can believe that because he does have a history of beating up people.
Yeah. Yep. Whether it be Ninja Turtles or his wife
or his brother. What happened,
or his brother, yeah.
Or caterers.
Uh-huh. That's also, well, not caterers, but social media guys, that sort of thing.
Well, I think about it. Wouldn't you hit Zuckerberg? Like,
you know? Yes, absolutely I would. Jack Dorsey, I'd slap the shit out of him.
Yeah, so I mean, like maybe in that instance, well, we know Del Rio was right in that instance because the person was saying things that they shouldn't say at work or in general.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think grave consequences. You heard it here. Del Rio was 100% in the right in that situation. I know you're not supposed to hit people at work, but one, he's a social media guy, so that kind of nullifies that, and he was being racist. So you heard it here. It's official. We are clearing Alberto Del Rio of any crimes, any kind of wrongdoings. Yeah. We WWE, you owe him back pay, and he has to become a legend. I don't care how coked out he is. He needs to be on stage. Let him talk. Don't cut his mic.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. I think we're on the same page. I agree.
Yeah, no, we absolutely agree on that for sure. This may be worse than when we advocated for gambling on the show.
Well, we did tell people to do drugs.
But the cool drugs, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm on board.
Oh, but by the way, the cocaine thing, don't do it if you're fat because, you know, heart attacks and whatnot.
Don't you get skinny, though, if you do succeed? And you're not a quitter?
Maybe.
I think that was, do you ever see any of the roast of, it wasn't a roast, but someone said to Artie Lang, they're like, you're the only guy to do cocaine and stay fat or to get fatter.
I think Artie Lang said that in a comedy special.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's where I got it. That poor guy.
Oh, man. So did any spots in this match stick out to you? Because I only wrote down two.
I didn't write down any spots. The things that stuck out to me was the stupid what chant when Dario was talking. They were chanting what? Why did they chant it?
Why didn't they chant K?
Oh, you were breaking up a little bit. For the audience, in case you didn't hear Caleb, he said, why did they chant K? And you know what? You're right. I don't have an answer for you as to why they didn't do it. This audience, and I've been meaning to say this, this audience is kind of stupid. The crowd.
They can be, yes.
They root for people that just aren't rootable for. Like, I don't know why they're rooting for Alberto. They root for Tejano. You know what I'm saying? Like they're kind of, these are marks.
And not only that, they boo Hernandez.
They're marks. They're like the dumbest. They think wrestling's real.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You just called them. You said they've rooted for somebody that sucks.
They boo Hernandez.
Yeah, they're wrong. They're in the wrong. So they owe back pay too.
You know what? I love how the 180 we've done on Hernandez in general.
Dude, we can admit when we're wrong. We
earned it. So, I mean, yeah.
I mean, I was saying before, like the Snyder cut, like I've been trashing that for a while, but people are saying it's good, but long. If it's good, you know, it's good. And if Hernandez was good all along, Vampiro is still a liar. Which segues into my other point. He points out that I think it's either him or Stryker pointed out that Matt Evans trained at the Heart Dungeon, which they've said before, and it's pretty interesting news. It kind of leads into us wanting him to get pushed more in AEW. But they also say he practices Muay Thai, at which point Vampiro says, I know, I train at the same gym. That's a lie. I doubt he's ever done Muay Thai. And Jack Evans also has a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Really?
Yes. They said that, which was pretty interesting. I don't know if I didn't catch Vampiro claiming that he rolls, but that would have been a lie too. And I'm surprised he didn't jump on that. But
now Vampiro has rolls. He doesn't do rolls.
So that's one of the lies. That's one of the many lies is about Vampiro. But yeah. I did write down the psychology on the mat. It was very much the same psychology as the other match Matt Evans had. I think the other one was a little bit better. But this one was still good. It was all about him. Like, he has the raw talent. Like, he's owning the match, but he'll grandstand. He'll talk shit and he'll get caught with something. And I think he lost this one too.
No, he won. He won, sir.
He won. Okay. Yeah.
He won with a backslide, with a very unique bridge that I've never seen before.
But it was, oh yeah, I do remember that. But it made sense though, because normally the backslide they can just roll out of, but he bridged over top as well. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't really kick out. So it was a very good, it wasn't a steel pin, but it was a nice, I'm going to say real pin. It's like a real pinning situation where, because that's the point, is the pin, you can either pin or submit or knock someone out or count out. And, you know, you got very different ways to win, but you don't have to necessarily knock them out and pin them. You just have to pin them. And this move would pin somebody, I think.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It was one of those, like, he trapped Arjenis where he couldn't kick out.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. So next up, we have Daivari in the back with Big Rick. And he says, Yay. You know what, guys? I was glad to see Big Rick. But Daivari says, you know, we got a trio title shot. And all we need is a partner. So Big Rick, you know, thinking of family, which kind of surprised me. Big Rick says, you know, hey, maybe we go with my cousin, the Mac. Mac shows up to accept. And Cage shows up and he says, what the hell do you think you deserve to be in it for? And then Daivari says, like, well, what do you think you have, Cage? And Cage is like, well, I got this. And then he, like, starts beating him up. And I always thought this was awkward the first time I saw it. And I still think it's awkward the second time.
There was some, do you mean as far as the dialogue or as far as the action?
Well, the dialogue and the action combined.
Yeah, some people can't really...
Doing the full-blown wrestling moves in the locker room, I thought was kind of weird.
Considering all the other choreography they have on the show, yes, that stood out. Some people are not very good talking. The Mac, yeah. I love the Mac, but he's not great.
Nope.
And
Cage isn't great either.
Which is weird because I'm 100% behind Cage.
Me too.
After seeing these matches on these shows, and we want him to be pushed further in TNT, AEW. But yeah. I don't know if you watched the last show, but.
I watched Dynamite on YouTube, and I have bigger complaints about an LLU alum than I do about whatever they did with Brian Cage.
Well, there's a you might not have seen it, but he got the mic and he was talking to Sting, and it just wasn't terrible. It was just passable, I'll say.
Gotcha.
So this segment didn't really have a lot for it. I mean, they were pointing out how. They're subtly pointing out that Rick is having reservations. He just turned heel again, and now he's having reservations about, you know, leaving his cousin because he was trying to help his cousin out.
The big show of Lucha Underground.
He really is, and I really think that, I don't know, it does feel like that very much so because he just went from being a face, and I really think they had nothing for him. Maybe it was a scramble because they didn't have the wrestlers they needed at the time. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But this it was an awkward segment. It sets up the story, but that's it.
And you know, I'm not necessarily complaining, but to see Big Rick, who is basically the focus on the show until Aztec Warfare, who has basically just become a background character, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, because he is a focus, but he wants to just be a bodyguard and just wants to just be there. You know what I mean? He's like I don't remember his name, but in ECW there was a big guy, a biker guy that would go with Paul E.
I want to say 911.
Yeah, 911. Yeah. Or he's like Batista for D-Von. Like he just wants to be that guy. Or he's like Wardlow.
Yes.
It's weird to give a big storyline, not big storyline, but it's weird to give them a major story, but have them be a background, have them want to be a background character. It's a weird combination. It's if you play like D&D, it's like having a pure neutral character that, you know, it's kind of hard to like put them in directions or having if you're a writer. It's like having a main character that doesn't make decisions, an inactive protagonist, which if you ever seen a movie where it's boring and it's meandering, you probably have an inactive protagonist because they're not making decisions. They're not moving the story. The story's happening to them. And you can write that way, but it's not everyone does it well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not saying like, oh, Big Rick should be the champion, but like the focus they or the lack of focus they have on him rather is rather kind of weird. But anyway, Cage beats the crap out of Willie Mack, and Cage is welcome to the team.
I did, and that was another weird part. It's like, why does he want to be on the team? Just to become a trios champion, or?
I guess, yeah. I would assume that would be the motive.
I think Cage could pick better partners.
Yes. Well, Big Rick's a good partner.
Big anyway. Rick is.
Yeah, the other guy, not so much. So we go from that vignette to another. Chavo talking to Black Lotus in the locker room, and he says, I got you a match tonight. Lotus immediately realizes she's been put in a trap, starts beating the crap out of Chavo until the crew shows up.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And she really, holds her own, basically, until Chavo sneaks attack her with, like a blunt object of some sort, whether it be, a bat or a kendo stick or whatever.
Dude, and this whole thing was kind of weird because she was doing, we were talking about the choreography, they're doing wrestling moves and the other thing, but she was taught by a luchador, and I wrote down a couple different disciplines I saw her doing. I saw her doing Wing Chun, I saw her doing Muay Thai, I saw her doing some, possibly Taekwondo, and maybe even some karate. And it's just like they're giving her all this fighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I don't remember her having a match.
No, she has at least two.
She has two? They're forgettable then.
Yeah.
Did she do all these martial arts? And that's the one of the things where you kind of have to turn your brain off of Lucha Underground is that people will be in vignettes doing fucking kung fu. And then they're back to doing regular wrestling in the ring. You kind of have to turn your brain off a little bit for some of that. And I think this is unfortunately one of those situations.
Yeah. You got your dog stampering around back there?
No, I was actually opening some mail because I noticed something that I didn't notice before. I was making sure it wasn't a bill that was passed due.
That's fine because I've been having to roll my window up and down because my dog will start and stop barking.
Nice. So
that's where I'm at. Hey, folks, that's the kind of aesthetic you get here on the Grave Consequences podcast. You get honesty, and it's very raw, and it's real. And by the way, I forgot to mention, but I gave the team of Big Rick, Cage, and Daivari a team name, as I'm known to do, and they shall be known as the Golden Machines.
Okay.
I hope you like it. Don't worry, you don't have to get used to that, because... The trios titles are on the line next when Jesse and the Rippers, that's right, Ivelisse, Angelico, and Son of Havoc, trios champions, face the Golden Machines of Brian Cage, Big Rick, and Daivari. And I noticed that, and they pointed it out on commentary, but you got Daivari drinking a scotch, you got Big Rick smoking a stogie. Cage is the only Rudo who is not engaging in a vice on his way to the ring.
Well, is ego a vice?
Perhaps.
I forget if it is, but our
well, pride is one of the seven deadly sins, so I guess you could say that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you right now off the bat. Well, for this match, I had some problems with it. I'm not sure if you had some problems with this match, too. I can tell you, I actually liked the way Big Rick fights.
I had a problem with something Vampiro said. He claimed that each guy on the Rudo side is over 260. And Daivari, granted, he had some muscle to him.
No.
He's maybe 230.
He's not 260.
Yeah, no.
Unless he's wearing gold, heavy gold.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And something... I had to see to believe. Angelico was the tallest guy in the match. Now, granted, he is taller than Cage, but he's lanky, dude.
Is he taller than Big Rick?
Supposedly. That's what Vampiro let on.
Oh, wow. Well, as I was saying, though, Big Rick, I like the way he fights in this match, dude. Like, he just beats the crap out of people, and it's not boring.
Because
he puts, like, he swings on people. Like, it's not the boring giant stuff where they're lumbering around and they swing and they miss. No, he's, like, slugging people. He's stomping the mud hole in people. I loved it, the way he was fighting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't like how the Technicos were very – they're still, like – They hate each other. You can tell they can barely work together. Like, they didn't even win this match by working together. They won this match by existing long enough to have an outside force help them win. And that was kind of disappointing. That's not a good way to build up a babyface team.
I actually agree completely. That was my major problem with this match, is I thought we were done with that. Because they already have a handicap, and that's Evilise having a broken leg. They don't need another one.
Well, and you could say, not to be a chauvinist, but like,
she has a broken leg.
Well, not only she has a broken leg, but like, you got two guys in there, and then you got a woman going against two of the biggest guys on the roster. Okay. And again, that's not me being a chauvinist, but like, size does matter.
Yeah, because she's a small woman. She's short.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm pretty sure she is. She's at least comparably to even Havoc. You know, she's got a broken leg. She can't compete. It's already 2-on-1, and it just, and for me, it was very abrupt because Havoc is the first one that does it, and he's supposed to be like kind of like a baby face right now, but he was acting like a heel with the way he was interrupting. Like, Angelico had a hot streak going, and then Havoc interrupts it, you know, like a heel would, and it's just kind of like Evilise was acting like a heel, even though she was right with what she was saying about stuff. It's like, are they baby faces? Like, and you know, I love it when heels fight heels, but I also like it to be clear. Like, Eddie Kingston just became a baby face, kind of working with Mox. There's really no heels and baby faces in AEW, and I think they do that well, but it's still clear as to what they kind of are at the moment. Like, with this, it's kind of like, you know, why are you acting like a heel when you're the baby face? Like, you're supposed to be the clear baby face.
Well, to me, it's like, okay, Evilise, she may have been right in her complaints, but like, at the same time, I don't blame them not drag her in, because she's on one leg. Sir.
Can you repeat that? You kind of broke up a little bit.
Sorry, man. But I don't blame them for not tagging her in, because she's on one leg.
Yeah. What's she going to do?
Yeah. But I love how, like, she's like, oh, you're not going to tag me in? Whatever, I'm out of this. Go sits down next to the marks.
I can tell you that I did like the way Daivari did two things. I think it was Angelica was on the corner on the turnbuckle, and Daivari did the thing where he just grabs a leg and he pulls them off so they land on their back. I like that move because it's simple. I like moves like that where you're just adjusting them and then they fall. Are they, like, you're doing something small and simple, but you're doing a lot of damage. And then when he went for the pin, he the arm that would have that Angelico was going to lift up to get out of the pin, he actually held it down by the wrist to make it harder. So it was like, I like it when there's a lot of little things that you can miss, but they all add up to a bigger piece. And Daivari can, you know, he's very good at wrestling technically.
Again, the Technicos don't figure it out on their own. They have outside help, and Tejano shows up and interferes. Two big pops, by the way, to a big pop. And I love it because I'm getting behind Tejano, man. And I don't know, maybe that's the power of suggestion at work. But Tejano interfered. It allowed Havoc to hit the shooting star press. And the Technicos got the win and retained their titles.
The undeserved win, but yes, they did.
Yes, very much so. But after that, Dario has the crew in there, and they're okay. Dario's in the bowels of the temple. The crew brings in the Black Lotus, and Dario says, "Put her in the cage next to my brother."
I was thinking about this. Dario has a jail cell in the temple.
Yes.
Do you remember when Bully Ray was yelling at fans because they were?
Oh my God! Yes.
Do you think he took him to a jail cell underneath Ring of Honor?
And Jeff Cobb was in there. Oh, well, shit. Cobb,
he was there. Oh,
sorry. You have to edit that, dude.
I do?
Yeah. Actually, no, you don't, because they don't unmask Matanza.
Okay, good, because I was kind of hoping to quickly edit these tonight, so.
Good, good. Yeah, you don't have to edit that. Folks, Jeff Cobb is Matanza. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He looks like a... Well, I don't want to spoil that, so.
He looks scary, dude. I'll put it that way. Like, he does look scary as hell.
Yeah. I forget what we were talking about. Well, we were talking about if Ring of Honor had a jail cell where Bully Ray would intimidate fans. And I think he did, and I think he did have Jeff Cobb in the jail cell adjacent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We just solved it.
We did. We solved the problems. Oh, man. Next up. Main event. Submission match. Pentagon Jr. versus Sexy Star. Let me ask you. Is this the first time we've seen Pentagon rock in the white mask?
I don't think so. Okay. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong.
New, but I could be mistaken.
You know, I didn't pick up on that detail. I just know that this might be the best intergender match I've ever seen.
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, I did like how, you know, they point out on commentary how Sexy Star is obviously not the submission magician that Pentagon is, because she can't do joint manipulation like him.
She can't. I mean, but he was he the way he punches, the way he did his strikes, it, like, you know, my complaints where it's just the guy's missing strikes and missing moves and the woman just running around him like he's a bumbling oaf. This wasn't that kind of match. Yeah.
No, absolutely not. And dude, every time Pentagon hits those thrust kicks, they always look killer.
I know people criticize wrestlers for doing the leg slap when they kick. But my God, dude, that's Maserati Pro Wrestling. I love the leg slap when people kick. I love it. Oh, my God, dude. Especially when they do super kicks. I pop every time. Because it just, I don't know. I don't see it. It's like it's a magic trick that I don't see it. I can't, even when I look for it, I can't see them slapping their leg. So I just love it.
I don't know. To me, it's one of those things. It's like, for me, when someone pointed out that Kevin Dunn does a lot of camera cuts on his shows now, and I can't unsee it, you know? So it's just the opposite.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. At one point, Sexy Star goes from that tetanus-filled railing onto Pentagon Jr. with a crossbody. And Sexy also gets a hope spot with a single-leg temple crab. That's what I call it. I hope you like that nickname.
I do.
Yeah. Eventually, Superfly, the formerly masked luchador, runs interference, and he attacks Sexy Star. Gets Pentagon out of the crab.
See, I didn't think they needed that. That was the one downside to the matches. I think they could have had Pentagon win clean, and it wouldn't have hurt Sexy, because she has great psychology in the ring. Like, you really root for her. You really felt like she was going to make Pentagon tap. Like, I didn't remember the match. I was like, oh, God, is she going to make him tap from a single leg? Because he kept acting like he was going to tap, and he wasn't that close to the ropes.
Yeah.
So that kind of ruined the match for me, because they
really?
Just... Because, well, they can't let some people just win. Like, they'll have some people win. Pentagon should win this match.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
It's a submission match. He doesn't have a submission move. He does. He's sadistic. Like, you could have just had him win clean.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I get where you're coming from. I didn't think about that, so I thought the interference was fine. I thought it kind of portrayed like, oh, Superfly is still kind of vengeful, even though Sexy's mask was also on the line, but whatever. Anyway, Superfly feeds Sexy Star right to Pentagon, package pile driver into a surfboard lock, and then he grabs her by the throat, and Sexy Star has no choice but to tap out.
You know what they called his pile driver?
On the show? Did they call it the Pentagon driver?
No, they called it something much cooler, I think. They called it the three up, three down driver.
I love it. I love it. I love a nice baseball reference, dude. You got my cough from last week?
I've had this for a little bit.
Sure. You got the Rona. I can hear it. Oh, my God. So after this, Pentagon – pushes the ref away, and he is ready to break Sexy Star's arm. All of a sudden, Vampiro leaves the booth, and he makes the save. And as he's doing this, the temple is going buck wild.
Yeah, I'm not. I wasn't. I didn't watch WCW, and I didn't know about Vampiro, so I wasn't.
Hmm. Well, okay, because we know where this is going, so I'm like, okay, this is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it popped the crowd. It's one of those things where I'm not in the loop with Vampiro, so I didn't care. But people did. People wanted him to wrestle. I mean, he doesn't look like he can wrestle at this point.
No.
But it was a hot moment. People were into it.
Yeah, the temple was like exploding, bro. And so Vampiro gets Sexy Star out of there. Vampiro doesn't leave the ring. Neither does Pentagon. Pentagon's basically daring Vampiro to do something. And Vampiro walks out to the back. That's not the end of the show, folks, because we go to Vampiro in the back in a locker room or a bathroom. Surprised Drago wasn't there, but I guess he did get kicked out of the temple. But Vampiro stares in a mirror in the back, and he's hearing like some commentary he had said throughout the season play overhead. He said about he'd been in a dark place, and you could hear in a distorted voice, "Something dark is coming." And all of a sudden, Vampiro headbutts the bathroom mirror.
Yeah, I mean, that's corny stuff to me.
Yeah, it's a bit much, but again, like, I can forgive it because, you know, I know where this is going.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's just, you know, the way Vampiro talks about things is like he thinks having mental issues makes you stronger or better or cooler. He thinks, you know, darkness, and like he's one of those people like you kind of go in that phase when you're in high school where you're like you like corn and you like go on the Hot Topic maybe, or maybe you're even full on goth, but like
AFI and whatever.
But eventually you don't start like those things seem cool in the moment. But you get older and you realize, like, yeah, it's kind of corny. Like, that guy's not tough. Like, because it seems like it's coming from a place of toughness, but it's really just corny. Like, I'm in Vampire Cults. Cool. Like, can you imagine? Now, I'm older than you, but how old are you again?
I am 26 going on 27.
All right, cool. How cool if you think of a vampire cult, do you think it'd be cool to join a bunch of people pretending to be vampires?
No.
Okay, so that's the thing, is it's like it's stuff that's cool to like someone that's in middle school, but like anyone older, and I'm not picking on Darby, but Darby's main audience I think is younger people. Like, you know, I think he has a very young fan base, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But Vampiro is much older, still playing towards people with that same mentality. You know what I mean? Like. He's only attracting people older than like 16. The only people that he's attracting as far as fans, I think, are juggalos. That mentality. Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would agree. With that, we've reached the end of the episode. We will be recording shortly after this one, probably 20, 30 minutes, something like that.
Maybe sooner, because I'm not going to edit until we're done both.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So, with that being considered, folks,
we got to rate the show.
What do we want to rate the episode? That's what I was going to say, man.
I'm going to give it a C.
Okay. I'm going to give it a B-, and I'm bumping it up from a C+, strictly for that cool moment at the end of the show with Vampiro making the save.
Yeah, so it's a passable to good show.
Yeah, but this was like a landmark, and you know, people. I'm warning you guys, haven't seen this before. That is a landmark moment right there.
Yeah, this is this show does have some things that are very important for future ongoing events in the show. You know, so it's. It does have landmark stuff in it, yes. I just wish they had surrounded it with a better trios match. I didn't care for... I like the Pentagon versus Sexy Star match. I really liked it because it was really good back and forth. and you really were rooting for Sexy, and you really thought Pentagon was gonna lose. But I didn't like the interference because I was like, why isn't he attacking Pentagon? Pentagon also broke his arm. But he's like looking at him and winking and giving him a thumbs up. And then Pentagon's even like, what's your problem, dude? Like, I'd kill you if I could right now.
Exactly.
But I won't hold it to, I won't harp on it any further. But yeah.
Yeah. Folks, check out all the other great shows. Pardon me. Check out all the other shows that are almost as good as this show on the network. Check out shows like One Nation Radio with Rich Latta and James Boyd. Check out shows like Keeping It Strong Style. That's New Japan centric with the young boy Josh Smith and our boss Jeremy Donovan. Check out All Things Elite with my boy Floyd Johnson and Austin Summerwitz. Check out Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show. That is two Scots nicknamed Ricky and Clive. Also, let's see here. Get in the Ring. Get in the Ring. Great match. Generate DJ Cooks. As the title suggests, you know, generate great matches. Talk about it. Review them. Watch them. Great stuff. Grown Men Watch This Shit. James Vanderbeek and Chris Thing. 8-Bit Suplex with Heel Josh number 2, Josh McLaughlin, and Sandy Gaviria. That's Shooter Santos right there. Did I miss anything?
You said One Nation Radio, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's everything.
Awesome. So, folks, thank you for listening. And remember, we told you not to do drugs unless they're cool. And if you do the uncool drugs, the only thing you're going to suffer is grave consequences.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.